Figured it out by now. Pastor's not here. Him and the family are having a little R&R, which is probably much needed for him. And I know it's good for the grandkids. I know my kids benefit from it when they're with my parents. So, and I know my parents benefit from it as well, so. That too. So, if you have a Bible here today, turn to Philippians chapter 4. I know this is supposed to be a Sunday school lesson, but I don't have nothing like I'm teaching anything. It's kind of just things that I've been thinking about lately and just normal struggles that if I'm going through them, I can imagine there's other people that go through some of them, not the exact same struggles, but something similar. And so I just want to maybe give you a little personal testimony, kind of, so to speak, but just maybe give you something to think about from that, let me just check my notes here. Let's start with verse number 1 just to grab a little bit of a context. So Philippians here, Paul's writing to the church at Philippi. He's closing out his epistle here. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." I'm going to start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all the folks that came out today, Lord, to hear from you. Lord, we think of our pastor and his family as they're away. Pray that you just bless them in this time of rest. Give them the help that they need and just the encouragement with each other, Lord. And I pray you would just grant them safety, grant them health. Lord, we think of those that are not able to be here, whether they're out of town or sick or what have you. Lord, I pray that you just be with them as well and help them to draw closer to you where they're at. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us here. Help us to just learn something from you, Lord, and just have our eyes open to something that maybe we haven't considered or thought of or just lost track of, Lord. I pray that you'd just be with me. I pray that you'd wash me and cleanse me in your blood, Lord, and forgive me of my sins. Lord, I don't want to say anything that would hinder anybody here, Lord, and they didn't come to hear from me. They came to hear from you, and Lord, I pray that you would go forth. I pray that you'd bless the services to follow, and we just thank you for your love and your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you're anything like me, and I'm a human being, so you probably are, there's a lot of things in this day and age that can take our minds and our focus and just get us caught up in this nonsense stuff. Now, a lot of it has to do with just life in general, which is, to be fair, but it can, if not careful, it can drag you down. So this morning I just was kind of wanted to talk a little bit about struggles and some things that we go through in our daily lives, and just try to bring our focus from negativity, because a lot of things we think about can kind of has a lot of negative connotation around it. And if you listen to the radio, I don't watch much television, so I don't, but either that, even that, but if you just listen to the radio and you can just say talk radio, it can be draining. It can be literally draining, and my best days of when I have not listened to it at all. But there's a lot of negativity, and it takes, and our focus, if we're not careful, our focus is going to be on the negativity. What we need to do is we need to turn that and think about some positive things about our Lord and what he has done and the promises he has made to us. In verse number 8, I kind of want to pull out, just if we put a title on it, think on these things. And that's kind of where I want to focus. I want to just kind of give you some personal things that I've gone through, maybe that have helped me. Like I say, it's not going to be anything like, wow, this is something I've never heard before. To me, this is a lot of foundational things. We got to keep the foundation strong. And on a side note, most of you know I've been having back, hip, shoulder, or leg pains. And I finally, after some thinking for a long time, I finally bit the bullet and went and got some orthotics. And I asked about these other competitions and stuff like that, and he put it to me this way: you have a foundation, your feet are your foundation. If it's off, everything else above it's going to be off. If you have a crack in your foundation, some of these other things will just shore it up. They don't fix it. Where I went, their goal is to try to fix it. So a foundation, a lot of this is foundational things that we may have a crack. Well, probably a lot of us have cracks in different aspects of our life that if we're, and we're just trying to shore it up a little bit, but with things that we need to really consider, we got to fix. And so on that, on a side note, so the cares of this life, if not careful, can drag us down, and they're going to get us out of the race. That's just kind of how it goes. And an example of that, you know, we see in the parable of the sower. In Mark chapter 4, verse number 19, it says, "And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." I was looking at that, and I thought, entering in. It didn't say entered in. It didn't say was going to enter in. It says entering. To me, that's constantly. Things are constantly arising, and that's going to take our focus off of what matters. And you may have heard it said before, but there's three things, in my opinion, and I've heard this before, but three things that really matter. And I'll say three things that are eternal. God's eternal, his word's eternal, and the souls of men are eternal. And those three things are one of the three main things that matter. Like I said, that's my opinion. You can take it or leave it. And another account of the parable of the sower, Luke chapter 8, verse number 14. "And that which fell among thorns are they, which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection." You know, we've all heard the gospel, we've all heard a lot of preaching, a lot of teaching here, but if we're not careful, we're going to hang out where the thorns are. I read this morning in Proverbs 22, verse 5, "Thorns and snares are in the way of the forward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from him." I got to check that. And I thought about that, and I'm like, that's something that we need to guard against. not forward, forward, sorry. I didn't think that sounded right. If we're not careful and we're hanging out in the thorns and the snares, it's going to choke the word, and pretty soon we're going to conform to what they're, how they are. And if you haven't noticed, my daughter and I were out pulling weeds the other day. For how dry it's been, for how well the weeds and the icky grass grows. So if that can tell you anything about just junk stuff, how much it grows, that's a good, to me that was a good indication. I mean, sometimes there is a weed like this tall. I'm like, we haven't had any rain. How does it get this big? You know, where does it come from? And before you know it, you're caught up in this huge monstrosity of things going on, and you forget, and you lost focus of where you started. So some personal examples for me. Coming to church, I think it was around July 4th. It was super hot, right? Remember that day? We go to leave here, the check engine light's on my truck. Okay. My truck is 18 years old. What do you expect, right? But nonetheless, it's on. I'm thinking, I came to church and my check engine light's on. What's this going to cost? The wife calls and says the dryer ain't working. It's like, okay, now what? Then the whole issue with my leg and back, and I'm thinking, Lord, I'm going on a campaign in two months, and I'm going to be on my feet 5 to 7 hours a day. What's going on here? You know, so all this, the list goes on and on. Everybody has their own list. Everybody has their own list. This, to me, is just something maybe that, for me, that is personal that I can relate to, that just maybe you can, I don't know, get you to think about your own list. But there's all these things that go on that are just kind of, you lose track, and you quickly, if not careful, start blaming God for all these things he's allowing to happen to you. And thinking about, I know the Brazil campaign is on our minds, right? And for me, as being one of the leaders, the stress might not be the right word, but I'll say stress, of just taking a group of people in the day and age that we're in now, and all the things that we have to be concerned about, it can be draining. And when you're listening to the news media and them telling you the worst case of everything, the whole thing just, it gets draining and it gets emotionally stressful. And things like that can cause a person, and I've even been in this point, there have been times I have asked myself, is this worth it? Is all this worth it? You look around and you might look at people from afar and say, man, look at how much fun they're having. A few doors down last night, the people were hooting and hollering. A bunch of cars out front, they were having a party. It sounded like they were having a good time, right? Man, this could be like that. And they may not have all this stress that I have. Well, you can go a whole nother avenue with that, but they have a different level of stress than I have. Let's put it that way. But many times you feel like it's easier just to throw in the towel, pick up your ball, and go home, right? You instead of figuring out how you lost the game, you just pick up your ball, go home, pout, and say, I'm done. I'm not playing anymore. But, you know, the world, it makes it all look like fun and games, right? It makes it look good. It makes it look appealing. I'll give it that. You know, 5 or 6 weeks ago, we had the revival, right? And the Lord made clear to me that what I'm doing is worth it all. You know, we had both those preachers stand up here and give their, if you were here and you're paying attention, you're listening to them speak, they were telling you a lot of their background testimony without giving you a lot of details. And for me, I looked at that. I got saved when I was 6. I grew up in this church, and I praise the Lord that I don't have the don't know if example is the right word, but the example or the testimony that those men have or where they came from. But that made me realize, growing up here and like, okay, this is my parents' religion, so to speak. I'll just go along with it for a while. But then as I grew and came to a point in my young adult years where like, no, I need to make a decision if this is what is the right way to go or if this is what I need to go a different route. Well then, my parents, my dad, I'm close to my dad, he's my best friend, but he's if you listen to him speak, he says very little words, but he says a lot. He's a wise man. And also, back up just a step to the preachers, with the lifestyle that those preachers had from the revival prior to getting saved, those guys could smell a crook before they seen him. We would be in agreement to that. So if this wasn't the real deal, why would they still be fighting? Why would they still be in the fight? Think of my dad the same way. Why would he still be in the fight after 40, you know, he got saved in the late 70s, so let's say all 40 years. Why would he still be in the fight? If this wasn't the real deal, why would he still be doing it? So from that avenue, that's where I'm coming from. I took and said, this is worth it. This is where I need to be. This is where my family needs to be. Yeah, things are going to be tough. Things are going to be hard. But really? Are they really going to be tough? Are they really going to be hard? Look around. If you don't get out of the home much, maybe just go out and look around and just watch other people. With my job, I get to visit a lot of people and talk with a lot of people, and I get to see different kinds of lifestyles. And you hear different stories. You see where people are in different times of their life. And this is worth it. This is worth it. And I know there's things that are going to happen. That the dryer breaks, the check engine light comes on. I'm worried about taking a group of people to another country with all the things going on in this day and age that we have to worry about. And it's like, I would just rather just sit home and not do anything. But then is that the right mindset to have? It's not the right mindset to have. So during those revival meetings, if you remember, Brother Carter mentioned heaven a few times. He liked to preach on heaven. I got started thinking about heaven. And it got me thinking that when things get tough and stressful, maybe start thinking about heaven and what we have to look forward to. You know, the Bible, don't stop there, though. The Bible is full of promises from front to back. Front to back. You got stories, there's promises everywhere. And the other night, Pastor went through Revelation 21, and I thought, he's talking about heaven. And I want to talk about it. But, so he read through Revelation 21, which describes heaven, right? So, if you didn't catch that, pull it up on the online and listen to that. But just all the things that come with heaven, I never even thought of it or put it that down to that, thinking of that, the pearl. There's a pearl, one pearl is the size of a gate. Just try to put your head around that and all the other things that go along with that. We find the promise of this, though, in John 14:2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I trusted the Lord and got in him. I'm going to turn there. If you guys want to, you can too, just to see what we're looking at. John chapter 14. We'll just read it. Chapter 14, verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So there's a promise that God's building us a mansion. When I got saved, I got in Christ, which means he's going to receive himself again, right? Receive unto myself that where I am, there ye may be also. If I'm in Christ, I'm going to be where he is. So for me, that's a promise. So why not trust God about that promise? Think of the excitement, or just think of the things that are described in Revelation 21 about heaven, and just ponder that for a while. You're getting depressed or you're getting down about certain things. Just think of a promise in the Bible that you can think about, and that should give you excitement. That should give you something to look forward to. Well, you might say, well, that's what the Bible says about in the future. How do we know that it's going to actually be that way? Well, I'll give you this. If you can't grasp that, go and read all the detail given when God instructed how the ark and the tabernacle were to be built back in Exodus. And all the details that God laid out for all that, right? Okay, so it said that a while ago, but we didn't see that. So, you know, we're like to see things, we like to touch things, right? You can't walk through the store and see a pillow sitting there and walk up to it and touch it. Or you see a couch at Costco and you got to go sit down on it, right? We like to see things, we like to pick up things and have it and hold it. Okay, yeah, this is a coffee cup. And we're touchy-feely, that's what we do, right? You can't, like I say, you feel the towels. Oh, no, I don't like that. That's not soft enough. That robe's too hard. That's how we are. So you're thinking, okay, well, if God said this, I can't see it. I can't feel it. So maybe you know where I'm going with this. And maybe we'd start doubting what he promised, right? Look at Thomas. Thomas didn't believe it was the Lord, and he wanted to see the holes in his hands and his feet and his side. So what'd God give us? Maybe just to help you along the way a little bit. He gave us his creation. He gave us his creation. Look with me in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, we'll read verse number 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 3, it says, through faith, we'll just start with verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So by us being able to see what God did should help increase your faith a little bit, that what God said he's going to do. After all, God spoke and the world came into existence. He formed man. Genesis 2, verse number 7 says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So just think about that. You could picture God got man, and he's got man in his hand because he holds the whole world in his hand, right? So he can have man in his hand. And he's like, So he's going to need to balance, so he'll need 2 feet Got to have them big toes because those really help you with your balance. But then this muscle needs to connect here. You see where I'm going? Just start thinking about stuff like that. And pretty soon you're caught up in it. And you're thinking about, man, that is pretty amazing. That's something God, that's me. All these things work together. Let's say the problem is in my foot. It's worked its way all the way up into my back, my shoulders, right? That's all connected. It has to all work in tune together. If you still don't believe me about the creation, just go out and grab a chair and leave your phone in the house. But grab a chair, sit outside, and just listen to the birds. You'll even see some. And if you want to figure out what birds they are, get a bird book and start thumbing through the bird book. And if you'll notice, all the birds, they're not they're the same shape, but they're all different. And let's take a greenhead mallard, for instance, or a ringneck pheasant. If you get that thing in your hand and you're just sitting and admire, after you've harvested it, you sit and you admire. You admire the beauty. And look all the way down into the feather. Just the beauty and the design of the coloring. I mean, a ring neck around the neck, it's a ring. I mean, and God said that. And God spoke that. And there's so much things. Just think of all the other things that nature, creation has to show you. You know, you say, okay, well, you look out the window, what do you see? Oh, I see trees and I see a fence. But are you really looking? Are you really looking? Are you seeing, oh, no, there's a cicada bug on the branch making a noise. There's some, you know what I mean? Pay attention. There's a lot of attention to detail. I personally believe God pays attention to detail. Not only do we read about it in Scripture, but if you look around, you'll see it in His creation. So in my infinite wisdom, if what I see in creation is so detailed, just in a ringneck pheasant, I can't even comprehend the heaven that He's preparing for me. I can't. But it should get me excited for what I have to look forward to. It should help me get out of the slump that I'm in, because woe is me when it's really not woe is me, right? There's a lot other people going through worse things than I'm going through. But let's just look at what the Lord is doing. Look at what He's promised us. Look at what He's given us. Another promise to think about is He's not going to leave us or forsake us. We're already in Hebrews. Turn over to chapter 13, verse number 5. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." That's comforting. That's real comforting. Turn over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 31. And here we have the Lord. Here we got Moses talking. Let's see, verse number 6 says, "Be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." Verse number 8, Well, verse number 7, let's just read it. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. That should be something that should be comforting to you. He's not going to leave. He's not going to forsake you. Joshua 1. Turn over to Joshua chapter 1. We'll start reading in verse number 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, that river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and under the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. So clearly the Lord is, you know, Lord is here with Israel and going into the promised land. But he's promising that he's not going to leave them, nor forsake them, which comes to us. Okay, I'm in Christ. I'm sealed. I can't lose my salvation. But 1 Chronicles, chapter 28. First Chronicles chapter 28, verse number 9, and the Bible says, And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Now I'm saved, I'm eternally secure, so the Lord's not going to cast me off, which, I believe, indicating to Israel. He set Israel aside, right? He's until later time. But so just follow with me at this. If I want to throw in the towel and want to give it all up, take my ball and go home, he doesn't have to do anything good for me anymore, does he? He might still want to, but if I'm like, say, I'm done with this, I don't want this anymore, I'm still saved. But he doesn't have to come and help me. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong for thinking that way, but what I was going to say is when the going gets good, we need to not forsake the Lord either. When things are going good and we're up on the mountain peak, we still need to keep our focus on the Lord and not let go of what he's done for us. It's easy to say, I got this all under control. This is, look at what I'm doing, look what I did, and not give God any of the credit, any of the glory. That's what we need to watch against that. Because he's not going to forsake me from the essence of me losing my salvation, but I believe he can just let me go out and do my thing, and that's where I'm at, and just let me go through what I go through. I like to also think about his goodness, his long-suffering, his grace. You know, it's humbling to think about, when you sit and just think about that, it's very humbling to think how good he is to me, considering how I treat him. And I was thinking about that yesterday, and, you know, not saying any disrespect to my parents or nothing, but if they knew some of the things that, not saying I was a bad kid and by any means, but if they knew some of the things that I did, thought, or said, they would not be happy. And they don't know what I'm thinking, right? God knows what I'm thinking. And from that aspect of how I might have treated my parents throughout certain part stages of my life and things that I did or they didn't find out about, but God knows everything that I'm thinking, doing, saying, or where I'm going, but yet he's still this good to me. And my parents are still good to me, because they don't, maybe if they knew some of the things that maybe changed a little bit of their perspective, right? But God knows me, and God hasn't changed his perspective of, he still loves me the same as when I, as ever. So it's very humbling. It's very humbling. So, you know, if you want to, you know what the Bible says about us? You know, we get flayed open all the time. We get flayed open by the Word of God. We come in here, we get preaching, we get cut, you get told you're sinful, right? It can be kind of like, again? Can't you tell me that somebody just loves me and just wants to accept me the way I am and make me feel good about myself? Side note. This is totally relevant. I had a conversation a few weeks ago with a couple that I know through archery, and they go to Eagle Brook, and he was with Eagle Brook when it was still a Baptist church over in White Bear Lake, and so I don't know if he's saved or not, but she grew up Catholic. But anyways, they go there, and they've been going there a while, and she said, this with this whole COVID thing, it's kind of made them look at it and say, do we need to find something different? They are starving. She goes, we want something more. He says they're very good at getting people in the door, but that's it. So she goes, we want something more. We don't know where to go. I gave them our information. But so I don't even know what I was going to say about that. Oh, being made to feel good about myself, right? So that they get the people in, they're made to feel good about themselves, and that's where it's at. And then when someone wants more, they don't know where to go. Be thankful that you come here, and when you want more, you get more. If you don't get more, it's your own fault. It's your own fault. I mean, it's kind of like going over to the Darling's house, and they got a big spread out, and you leave hungry. Can't help you there. Can't help you there. That's how it is coming in here. We get so much, and if you can't get your fill, it's your own fault. So we'll do this real quick for time's sake here. Let's read Psalms chapter number 51. Turn over to Psalms. This is a good, if you want to kind of get an idea how you are here. Psalm chapter 51, verse number 1 says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasures unto Zion, build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. I just restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. We know how much of a joy it was when we got saved. And if we can't show a sinner how much joy it was for me, where's the convincing? If I'm this doom and gloom guy all the time, they're like, and they say I'm a Christian and I'm saved and I got in God with me, and but I'm always this doom and gloom guy. Why would they say, well, I don't want you? Why would they want what I got? Not saying that I shouldn't have troubles, I shouldn't be down, I shouldn't be this, but we need to be. I always try to be cautious of how I'm acting and what kind of message it's relaying, because I don't want to hinder somebody. And I believe that is kind of what that's saying. All right, so when I stop being grateful and thankful, where does it go? South. That's when it all starts going south. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So I'll kind of come back around. So with the campaign thing and all that, there was some struggling going on. And worrying about this and worrying about that and just all the things associated with the traveling, and like I said, I was second guessing the stress. And then I had to stop and think. And I said, you know, remember asking the Lord a while back, a couple years ago, 3-4 years ago now, what more you can do for him? Yeah. Well, look at where you're at today. Look at what you're doing. I thought, okay. Yeah, I did ask for that, and I'm doing things that I never thought I would be doing, don't feel qualified to do. And when the little things start getting frustrating and start getting, I don't want to deal with it, let's just quit, let's just stay home. Well, that's not what the Lord is telling me. That's not what the Lord wants. That's not what the Lord wants. So for what helped me to get through that, I said, all right, Lord, this is what you want. I'll let you take care of it. I can't take care of it myself. If you want this to come to pass, this is your ministry, this is what you want done, I just want to be a vessel that he can use. I just want to be a tool that he can use to help facilitate his work. I gave it to the Lord. And when I did that, I was just like, I don't care. Yeah. Do you got to have a COVID test? Yeah, who cares? If it's negative, great. If it's positive, okay. That's what the Lord wants. Well, when you get back from the trip, we can't see you for a few weeks. This is family. Why? Well, you're going to a different country. Well, maybe I shouldn't see you because your kids are going to be in school. I don't want to get infected from the. You see, I'm not. So I'm like, I'm not worried about it. If that's how you want to be, fine, that's fine. There's all other things that can go along with that too, you know, with the whole stuff that we're dealing with now and more of this. But just let the Lord, it's in the Lord's hands. I just want to be able to be a vessel and willing to be when the Lord says go, now, I want to be ready. I want to be ready. And Dave and I have been having a lot of conversations back and forth and just, do we go, do we not go? Do we go, do we not go? But there's so many, I hope I'm not stepping on any toes here, but there's so many open doors. And there's the Lord has put so many things together that I can't honestly say, or I can't have peace in my heart and say, no, we have to stay home because we can't do this. We might not be able to do this. We might not be able to do this. We don't know for sure. We might get there and we might get there going on the idea that we can't have a meeting. Let's just put it that way. We get there and we're going through and all of a sudden, hey, we can have a meeting and we're ready. Everything's in order, we're ready. And boom, now, if we had stayed home, not only would 100,000 scriptures not get passed out, see, I already got them passed out. Not would 100,000 scriptures get passed out, but there would be no meeting. And earlier this year when we went to Mexico, we didn't have a meeting, but two people got saved. That was worth it, double worth it. One person gets saved, it's worth it all. Two people, that's double. All right, so to say that, I gave it to the Lord. That's where I'm at with it. I'm at peace. It's in the Lord's hands. Everything's in, things like that are in the Lord's hands. The check engine light. Remember that was one of my, what do you expect? It's an 18-year-old truck. Yeah, but it should last. $10 can of spray to clean a sensor. We're good to go. The dryer. I'm trying to go on a trip, trying to save money, and the dryer goes off. A $15 thermal fuse part that I fixed myself. You know, I need to be thankful. My back leg situation, I'm still getting through that. Yeah, that's, but we're working through it, and, you know, Lord willing, we'll, I'm sorry, Jim. My poor sister Judy's still dealing with her. So I don't know all she's going through, but I can kind of relate a little bit. I need to be thankful for the resolutions instead of trying to play the blame game. The only one to blame is myself. The only one to blame is myself. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 4. So Philippians chapter 4, we'll just read a few verses here. And verse number 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I jotted a note down here. It says, you know, it's easy to rejoice when things are going good. But it's hard to rejoice. It's hard to rejoice with during trials. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now, I'm not asking the Lord to give me anything that, but always, always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We need to be thankful. We need to be praying. You're asking, the Lord's answering. You need to be thankful. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. I'm reading down a little bit, verse number 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. It's easy to not be content. It really is. And if you don't think so, you're fooling yourself. Verse number 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. When you're willing to set yourself, allow yourself to let God supply your need, he will. He will. And if you start getting down on yourself and you just start thinking about all that he's done and all that he's provided, and it should perk you back up. It should perk you back up. You know, here's another thing to think about. I was thinking about this too. This has come from one of Pastor's messages recently, but think about God. Just think about God, how big God is. He's our Father, and he's our Father to all of us the same. But he's not the same as he is to me as he is to John. In the essence of, John has different needs, different things that are personal to him. I have different things and needs that are personal to me. God can meet those on a personal level at the same time as he's helping Sister Jenny. I know it's like your mind just starts going, whoo, but just start thinking about little things like that. I'm like, man, this is cool. It should just spark a little bit of a excitement in you that kind of pulls you out of the slump that you're in, you know. And just when you're sitting there and the world's falling around on down around you, and it's like God's forsaken you and he's left you all here to you've just shut yourself down and you're not letting God. You're not willing to see what God's still doing. And, you know, those things I mentioned are minor, really. It's just pettiness. But not what really is the driving thing is if I'm not thankful for how God resolved those situations, it's not going to get any better. And I just want to make sure that I'm being thankful for when things do get stressful sometimes, and that's kind of that. You know, I hope this is just a little bit of a help to you, just to give you something just different to think about. Like I said, we get a lot here to think about. We get a lot of, like I said, the table is spread. If you go away hungry, it's your own fault. But just something a little personal for you that I've been through, that kind of helped me. We all have our own things that we need help with, and it's not all fun and games some days, you know, but the Lord loves us. He wants us to, he wants to help us, and we need to be able to let him help us. And one of the biggest things is to be a vessel, a willing vessel that he can use. And my vessel's got cracks in it. It might have a hole here and there. But if I can help fix those holes, get a good stable foundation back, it's gonna make it usable. I can try to shore up it and hold the plate, you know, I got a hole in my vessel and I'm just gonna prop up a board to hold something there. Well, eventually that's gonna give way and now I got a hole again. But if I don't get out there and I don't fix that and sand it down and try to mend it and blend it, it's not going to be a perfect vessel anymore. And that's why we need to be here. That's why we need to keep coming. When things get tough, it ain't worth leaving. It ain't worth leaving. And back to what the two preachers from the revival, if this isn't worth it, why would they have still stayed this long? Those two lifestyles, there are a lot of similarities, but like I say, they could smell a crook before they could see him. So if this isn't the real deal, why would they have stayed? So with that, I'll leave you with that. Thank you for your attention. We'll take a break and get started here in a few minutes.